I want to welcome everybody to the annual Yahrzeit Shir in memory of Harav HaGaon Rav Aharon David Burak, who is one of the early Rosh Yeshiva at Yeshivat Rabbeinu Yitzchok Elchanan. We are honored to have with us today the son of Harav Burak, Dr. Bernard Burak, his wife Nancy, and their son Dr. Josh Burak, who have come today to hear the special Yahrzeit Shir, which is being delivered today by Rabbi Eitan Schnall. And we're also privileged to have members of Rabbi Schnall's family here, including his father, Dr. David Schnall, who is the dean of the Azrieli School of Jewish Education. Just a couple of words I'll mention, that Rav Aharon David Burak was known as a great Rosh Yeshiva and also a great orator who served with distinction as a Rosh Yeshiva here from the year 1919 until the year 1961. And one of his profound messages, he has a sefer called Pirkei Aharon, two volumes of drashos that are published by Rav Burak Zatzal. And he speaks about our upcoming holiday of Hanukkah, and he mentions that the famous comment, which is found in the Megillah Starim of Rabbeinu Nissim, that when we speak about the menorah, in the Beis Hamikdash in the Holy Temple, the Torah tells us Elmu Pnei HaMenorah Ya'iru, that all of the lights, the candles, shall be facing the menorah. And Rabbeinu Nissim has a version that this is referring when the Beis Hamikdash will not be around anymore, to the Neros Chanukah, to the lights of Chanukah. And Rabbi Burak has in a beautiful drasha how this relates to Moshe Rabbeinu having difficulty figuring out exactly how to construct the Neros Chanukah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't worry, you'll take it from one piece and eventually it'll come from itself. And he understands this as an allusion to the question, how can we have the Neros Chanukah, the lights that illuminate the Torah, even in a time when the Beis HaMikdash won't be around, in a time of wanton destruction. But Burak lived, was speaking right after the desolation of the Holocaust and all the concentration camps and Jews who were slaughtered and murdered. And Moshe Rabbeinu was asking, how can we have the lights of Chanukah? To which the answer was, don't worry, that even when it appears that there won't be any lights at all, as long as we remain firm and strong to the tradition of Mikshat HaSeh HaMenorah, that it's one piece, and this piece cannot be changed, and we remember the firmness of our traditions, then it will come by itself. It will come even in the shores of the United States. There will be Batei Midrashos, there will be learning, there will be Tamidim thirsting for Torah, and our Burak Zatzal was one who enabled this tradition to continue and to flourish. And it is a special privilege for me to just call upon for additional words of introduction of Rav HaGaon, Rabbi Chalap Shlita, who played a major part, knew Rabbi Burak, and also has paved the way for continuing in the tradition of our early Rosh Yeshiva, today most notably Rav Burak's tradition, in ensuring that the light of Torah continue to emanate from this base medrash. And Rabbi Chalap will introduce our speaker.
I just want to read to tell one story of Rabbi Burak. First, of course, I want to thank Rabbi Reese for the Reese for the marvelous. Where is Rabbi Reese? The marvelous introduction, overdone, but I'll accept it. And much of this memorial, Rabbi Burak, which will continue until in Birtz Hashem we have the Geula Shlema and we have a Tfiyas HaMesim, will be conducted, I hope to be here, by Rabbi Reese, and we're very, very lucky. The yeshiva is lucky, the Talmidim are lucky, and I'm lucky also to have a man of the caliber of Rabbi Reese to follow me. And there'll be other opportunities, but it's very late, and I just wanted to give a measure of the feeling that I have now. Now, I went with Rabbi Burak, Zichron Tzadik Livracha, to Eretz Yisrael when I was a teenager. And it was 1949, and they went on a ship called the Spitunia. It was called the Neptunia, but we call it the Spitunia. And I'll remember something. This will tell you who Rabbi Burak was. And of course, I'm happy to see Dr. Bernard and Nancy Burak here. But the problem arose on Friday night. The first, we were three Shabbosim on that ship. And the ship said that you cannot have any lighting of Shabbos Benchenlicht, and they wouldn't allow it. And if you saw the ship, you'd know why they didn't allow it. And my mother, Allah Shalom, could not imagine not lighting the ship. And she was in the same cabin with two Italian war brides. This was in 1949. And there were two young Italian ladies who married soldiers. They met during the war, immediately after the war. And she really felt she's not going to go. And they asked, why aren't you going for supper? This was on Friday night. She said, I'm waiting for you to go to supper. Because when they were going to supper, it was still a little light. It was during the summer, she was going to light her candles and stay there until the lights went out. No matter how long it took for the lights to go out, she'd miss supper. But she could not imagine not lighting the candles. But what about the hundreds of other Jews that were on that ship? And they went to Rabbi Burak. Rabbi Burak didn't have any svarim with him there. He had a Gemara, a Chumash. He didn't have any svarim. And we had hundreds of Jews. There were 800 Jews in that ship at that time. And Rabbi Burak had to decide. And he said that you can light on the electric light. I'll never forget that. And that's what he posked. I don't know what Mrs. Burak did. She came from an outstanding family too. But I'm sure she listened to her husband, Olav Shalom. And I returned to the yeshiva. I was in Rabbi Palev's class the first year. And after the first year, I went to Rav Soloveitchik's class. I went to Rav Dovin, I went to Rav Soloveitchik. And during Rav Soloveitchik, maybe 2 years later, Rabbi Burak published an article that you can bench lift on electricity. And he tells the story. I think he intimates what happened. And this was his psak. It took him 2 years. He wrote it up. And, and I will never forget this. That the Rav came to the class, he was very angry. He said, how did he write such an article? It's not true, it's not true, and he should never have said this. And he went to a tremendous rejection of the article. And Aaron Bay Durek was an outstanding guttle in his own right. The Rav felt repelled by this. What's going on? Then we remembered it, and we laughed, and there was a lot of scuttlebutt in the yeshiva about this. And the Rav Burak just continued his way. And the Rav said what he said. And the Rav, of course, said it was very important. About 20, this is in, I think, 51. And I came to yeshiva 20 years later as in my present position. And I spoke to him and we came with the question. And unfortunately, there were several great tragedies. One was in Telzi yeshiva had a big fire. And three young students lost their lives then. And on Hanukkah, I think it was, or Shabbos, I don't recall when, but one was a Hanukkah, and then Rabbi Michal Katz, Zeichel Tzadik Livracha, lost his son in Baltimore. And two people lost their lives. So they came to a Rav, and we were discussing, can they use electric lights? Or they shouldn't burn in their, everybody used to burn the menorah in the window, every window. And people used to make, used to burn the candles in the Shabbos too, they were boys by themselves. And the Rav said, look, it's a big sakana. You can burn an electric. Who said you can't burn an electric light? That was the self-dover. I didn't want to remind the Rav of his original opposition to this. But it was an interesting episode in life. And I'm sure the Rav knew what he said at the beginning. And he knew with the same certainty what he said at the end. And Rav Burak knew also, when he was on the Neptunian, there were several 800 people, and at least 300-400 women, and had to light candles. And they won't allow you to light candles on Friday night. Bench and licht on Friday night. He also knew it. what it meant. And he was a very dear friend of our family. We looked up to him always. He was a symbol of all that's good in the Rabbanus, Hashim, and his assistant, of course. Later on was Rav Gifter. Rav Gifter became the assistant. Rav Yurev. Yurev used to speak all over the country. He needed somebody to take his shoe when he wasn't here. And Rav Nach, and Rav Mordechai Gifter, who became the Rav, who was a Gadol Yisrael. And Rav Yurev was very instrumental in him leaving the yeshiva. He was in the Yar Yeshiva High School. And he went to Tel together with his uncle, Rav Shmuel Zar, who was the dean of men. That was the uncle of him. And they sent him to Cleveland. And he came back here and became his assistant. I don't want to take any more time. We were very fortunate that the Aaron Dov Yurev scholar is Eitan Schnorr. The Eitan Schnorr you do in the Beis HaMikdash is one of the rarest students we have. He's Mishamna of the Yeshiva. And I want to introduce him.
Thank you. Bishus, Rabbi Shechter, Rosh Kolel, Rabbi Chalat, Rabbi Reese, other Rosh Yeshiva who are present, Avi Mori, and of course, most especially, the Burak family. We are very appreciative that you make this wonderful opportunity possible year after year. It's truly a privilege, and a humbling privilege at that, to speak in the memory of one of our great Rosh Yeshiva, Morenu Harav Aaron David ben Chaim Nosson Zatzal. Members of our generation owe a great debt of gratitude to the Rabbanim who graced the halls of Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan in the decades that have passed, and in particular, those who composed its faculty in the earlier part of the 20th century. It was these giants, most of whom came from Europe to our shores, who established this institution as the great Makom Torah that it is today. It was their efforts that laid the foundation for this great yeshiva, and that we and so many thousands of others like us credit for providing us with an environment for growth and development to this very day. Their presence and their influence is still felt. After all, they were the Rebbeim of our Rebbeim. And their Sfarim can still be found right here in the Beis Medrash where they once taught and studied. I'd just like to add that in addition to that Hakar Zatov that we all share towards Rabbi Burak and his colleagues, I have, on a personal note, a special unique connection that I feel to Rabbi Burak. You see, he was my grandfather's Rebbe in the 1940s. My grandfather describes him as a rare type of Rebbe, one who was an individual in a class all of his own. To this very day, whenever he is in contact with his classmate from those years, Rabbi Gedalia Schwartz, the CRC, the head of the Bezdin of America, they reminisce of those times, those years learning, studying under Rabbi Burak. When I told my grandfather that I would be speaking in his memory, he said to me, "Eitan, you better do well, because he was my Rebbe." An adequate tribute to an Adam Gadol such as Rabbi Burak, I'm positive that I'm not capable of. But, b'siyata d'shmaya, may our learning this evening truly be a schus and an aliyah for his neshama. Our kollel this year is studying Maseches Gittin, and right now we're holding more or less at the beginning of the 8th parak. We'll discuss a topic that everyone has probably seen in recent weeks, on Daf Ayin Chesamun Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Haisa Omedes B'Rishus HaRabim, a woman who is about to be divorced by her husband, is standing in Rishus HaRabim, and the husband throws the get in her direction. Zarkula Karov Lo Migureshes, Karov Lo Inu Migureshes. If he throws it in her direction, if it is close to her, then the get works. The get is chal, and if not, she's not migreshes. Mechta al mechta migreshes veinu migreshes. However, if it lands somewhere in between the two of them, we would interpret the words of the Mishnah, mechta al mechta, then the psak is migreshes veinu migreshes. And the Gemara will explain better what that means in a moment. V'chein le'inin kedushin, v'chein le'inin hachov. The same is true when two people who have either a relationship monetarily, one is a malva, one is a lova, and the lova throws his piroyon to the malva, or in a case where a man would like to be makadish a woman to make kedushin, and he throws her the vehicle of that kedushin, such as a shtar kedushin, we will have that din depend on the same cheshbon, whether or not it is kar of lo or kar of lo. The Gemara goes on to explain. Hechi dami kar of lo, hechi dami kar of lo. Amarav, arba amos shalo zeo kar of lo, arba amos shalo zeo kar of lo. It all depends on whether or not the get falls dalet amos, in the dalet amos that she is standing, or the dalet amos that he is standing. Hechi dami mechza al mechza, what is the case where it falls mechza al mechza in between them? Amar Rab Shmuel bar Rab Yitzchak kagon shayu shneim omdim ba'arba amos. Both of them are standing precisely within the same area of dalet amos. So therefore, if the get falls there, where they are both standing, we consider it mechza al mechza. That case where the get falls in the area where they're standing, within those dalet amos, that has a din of mechza al mechza. Literally, half and half, right in between. And if it falls right in between, we can neither associate the get as being in her domain, nor can we associate it as being part of his domain. And therefore, the psak is migureshes ve'ena migureshes. She is not entirely divorced. And she will require a new shtar gerushin. She will require a new document of divorce. The Gemara asks the question, why should we assume that just because they're standing within the same dalet amos, within the same area, the get does not work? Let's see who arrived in that area of dalet amos first. The implication is that when one arrives in dalet amos, even if he eventually shares it with another, the one who arrives there first acquires domain of the dalet amos, and therefore a get that falls within that domain is considered associated with that individual, the one who got there first. So let's see Haymanayo Kadam. Let's see who got there first. The Gemara says, "B'chitema da'asu tarvayu b'hadi adadi." Maybe you'll suggest that the reason that this case is considered mechza al mechza, half and half, is because they arrived at precisely the same moment. That can't be. V'hayi esher letzamtzim. It's impossible to achieve precise simultaneity in terms of the two individuals, the husband and the wife, arriving in the dalet amos at the same time. Esher letzamtzim. So therefore, the Gemara concludes at this stage of the Gemara. Amar of Kahana, Hacha Beches Amos Mitzumtzamos. You're right. In reality, they're not standing within the same Dalet Amos. Rather, they find themselves in perhaps a rectangle that is 8 Amos long, and the get falls immediately, directly in between the two of them. Get Yotze Me Arba Amos Lo, the Dalet Amos Shalo. So since neither of them can be said to have a Kinyan Dalet Amos on that get, because since the get falls right in between the two of them, so we will not say that it is either his dalet amos that the get finds itself, nor will we say that it is in her dalet amos. Rather, it's right in between. It is invalid, and a new get will be required. The Gemara goes on to have other problems with this answer, but they're not of our concern at the moment. What should be a concern when one's reading the Gemara is that there almost seems to be some sort of internal contradiction from one moment to the next. I believe needs to be understood properly. The Gemara says, why is it that we will not assume that the explanation of the Mishnah is that they're both standing within the same Dalet Amos? Because Iyash Letzamtim, we cannot possibly say that one, that they both arrived at the same time. Rather, it must be that one got there before the other. As Rashi tells us, Iyash Letzamtim Shalo Yaktim Ha'acher. It must be that one got there before the next. So, with a little background, we have to know what that statement means. The Gemara in Bechoros, in Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, tells us the following din. Let's say an animal that has never yet given birth, a female kosher animal, gives birth to two male children at the same time. So normally, when a Bechor is born, a firstborn male, we give it to the Kohen. It's brought upon the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash. However, when both of them come out at the same time, so we're at a loss of determining which of those two animals is actually the Bechor. The Mishnah tells us, Yatzu Shnei Rashem Ka'achas, if both of their heads exited the mother's womb simultaneously, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer Shneim LaKohen, Shneim HaZacharim LaShem. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says we treat both of them as having the status of Bechor, as having left the mother's womb at the same time. B'chachamim Omer, the Chachamim argue, Iyesh Sholetzamtzim, the same words found in our Gemara, Iyesh Sholetzamtzim, it's impossible that they came out simultaneously, literally, El echad lo ve'echad l'kohen. Since only one got out first, one must be given to the Kohen, and one is kept by the Yisrael. So that's fine and dandy when we read the first part of the Gemara's explanation of the Mishnah. We pass them like the Rabbanan. Ostensibly, we would assume, halacha karabim, against Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that one of them must be assumed to have arrived first within the Dalet Amos, in the same way that one of the two animals, one of the two Zecharim, left the mother's womb first. But then, Ela Amar Rav Kahana, hacha b'ches Amos mitzum tzomos askinan. We're talking about a situation where we can draw a rectangle precisely the measure of 8 Amos from one end to the other. That would imply, as the sugya in Bechoros will continue to tell us, Efshel Tzamtzim. You'll ask me, what is the connection between the two types of Tzimtzim, the two types of precision? On the one hand, there's simultaneity in terms of the two people arriving at the Dalet Amos at the same time, the two Zecharim coming out of the Rachel Shlo Bikra at the same time, and then we go on to discuss Tzimtzim in terms of making precise measurements. What do the two have to do with each other? So the Gemara over there in Yud Zayin Amud Beis tells us that the machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Rabbanan governs that question as well. The specific example the Gemara raises first is the question of the Chut Shel Sikra. When the Jews built the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash, a Chut Shel Sikra, a line, was necessary to be drawn around the circumference of the Mizbeach, dividing between the top and the bottom. The reason for that is because certain bloods from certain karbanos were sprinkled in the upper portion of the Mizbeach, and certain were actually sprinkled in the lower half of the Mizbeach. The Gemara asks, how could it be, if you hold like the Rabbanan, Yeshel Etzamtzim, that we were able to draw that circle going around the Mizbeach at exactly the midpoint? Maybe if we measured the top of the Mizbeach to the bottom, we erred by a few millimeters, if that should happen. So that it could definitely result that a Kohen would sprinkle the damim, the blood, on the upper half of the Mizbeach, when in reality it was actually on the lower part of the Mizbeach, because the line wasn't drawn in exactly the same place, exactly correct place. So what's clear from that Gemara is that Tzimtzum, again, is a question not only of two simultaneous events, but also a question of Tzimtzum, the ability to make precise measurements. The Gemara goes on to give another example, the case of Egel Arufa, if a dead body is found right in between two cities. So in order to determine which of those two cities brings the Egel Arufa, we need to measure. Is it closer to city A or is it closer to city B? That again is a question of Tzimtzum in the context of precise measurements. So if that's the case, if that question of Eshel Tzamtzim, Eshel Tzamtzim governs precise measurements as well, then the end of our Gemara, Hacha b'ches Amos mitzum tzomos askinan, where we draw exactly 8 Amos, as Rashi tells us, lo pachos v'lo yoser, that must be the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Eshel Tzamtzim. So how could it be that just a moment ago, the Gemara says, it's impossible for two people to arrive in the same Dalet Amos at the same moment, because Eshel Tzamtzim. So, although the answer to this question is not explicated by the Bali HaTosos, there is an important psak, which I think, if we extract the yesod of what they're telling us, we'll be able to understand this Gemara better and be able to move forward. The Gemara in Bechoros, in that same sugya, gives a more finer distinction, a more subtle distinction in terms of understanding the differences between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Rabbanan. That is to say, there's one category of tzimtzum known as bidei shamayim, the example of the bechor being born, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki'ilu sent those two animals to come out of the mother's womb, and as Rashi says, hachleidav avagav de'in makpidim b'kach. Kaviyachal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really care which bechor actually came out first. They both came out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not trying to make them arrive at exactly the same moment. So there, Rabbi Yossi Aglili certainly says eshel etzamtzim, and he also says eshel etzamtzim in cases of bidei adam, where it was a human attempt to make two events occur at the same moment, or to measure precisely. As Rashi tells us, a case of tzimtzum bidei adam, miskavnim letzamtzim shum mida o shum davar. If human beings are trying to make a precise measurement or have two events coincide, eshel letzamtzim. Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds eshel letzamtzim in both scenarios. The Gemara tells us that while we know from the Mishnah, the classic example of the Bechor, according to the Rabbanan, certainly bidei shamayim eshel letzamtzim, what is the halacha regarding bidei adam, when it's humans trying to make two events converge? The Gemara's conclusion, based on a brisa dealing with Egel Arufa, is Shema mina kasar v'rabanan iyashol etzamtzim v'afilu b'dei adam shema mina. We paskin that according to the Rabbanan paskin that is, that even in cases of b'dei adam iyashol etzamtzim, we cannot assume complete convergence, nor can we assume that a measurement made by human beings is absolutely precise. Tosis, in a number of places in Shas, extracts from this sugya and from other sugyas around in different mesechtas, that halakha l'maisa, how do we paskin in the shaila of Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Rabbanan? We hold, like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, efshar l'tzamtzim, in scenarios of bidei adam. When two people are trying to make the two events converge, we assume that they did. They are b'tzimtzim. We don't paskin like Rabbi Yossi Aglili in cases of efshar bidei adam. Bidei Shemayim. Tosis asks on himself, how should I learn the Gemara in Gittin? The Gemara in Gittin is a case where the husband and the wife both are entering the Dalet Amos at the same time. That's a case of Bidei Adam. If it's a case of Bidei Adam, should we not assume Efshar Litzamtzim? Lefi the way the Bali Tosis Paskin, that we Paskin Rabbi Yossi Aglili in cases of Bidei Adam, Tosis answers by saying, Afilu Yehei Alachlok Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Even if the truth is we passing like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Mikol Makom Dochaku Lahamid HaMishnah Bakach, She'ein Regilus Lios Dover Mitzumtzum, Ustamalo Kibna Bavas Achas Lavo. In all likelihood, even if when two people try to make two events coincide, if they're not trying to synchronize their actions, they won't be synchronized. One will get there first. The husband or the wife will arrive in the Dalet Amos before the other one. Therefore, there's no kasha. Tosis in Chulin Daf Chav Chesam and Beis even goes one step further and says, because of the unlikelihood that they'll arrive in the Dalet Amos at the same moment, we actually call it tantamount to a case of Bidei Shemayim. And as Tosis themselves told us, we do not passing like Rabbi Yossi Aglili in cases of Bidei Shemayim. Therefore, we understand, and again, Tosis doesn't speak this out explicitly, but we can extrapolate from Tosis that that's the correct way to read the first part of the Gemara. Chitema d'asu tarvayu b'hadi adadi, lest you say they got there at exactly the same moment, yeshu l'tzamtzim. This is a case of Bidei Shemayim. Mistam alon eskabnu l'kach. Of course they didn't arrive in the Dalet Amos at the same moment. Therefore, yeshu l'tzamtzim. Therefore, we paskin that they did not get there at the same moment. El omar of kahana, hacha b'ches amos mitzumtzamos askinan. However, when we are able to draw, when we're able to measure whether or not they're standing within an area of precisely ches amos, there, that should be treated as a case of eshel etzamtzim bidei adam. As Rashi said, if someone is trying to be mechaven amida, meskavnen letzamtzim shum mida, eshel etzamtzim, and we passing like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, bidei adam. So the result is, latent in our sugya, would seem to be a hochacha, maybe even a hechrich, that the stomach of the Gemara is holding Rabbi Yossi Aglili. I think it would be quite difficult to read the Gemara otherwise. Even though the Gemara goes on to reject this answer, that's really for technical reasons that don't relate to the machlokas of Eshel Tzamtzim or Eshel Tzamtzim. So one would conclude that our sugya is going according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili with the psak of Tosus that if it's Esher Bidei Adam, we accept the psak of Eshel Tzamtzim. I'm sorry, if it's Bidei Adam, we accept the psak of Eshel Tzamtzim. Rashi seems to be entirely consistent with this pshat, and as we mentioned before, in Bechoros, follows the line of thinking and the line of explanation that the Bali Tosas do. I think I just saw yesterday, if you look in the Tosas HaRosh and our sugya, I think part of this cheshbon is Merumas there as well. Let's take a look at a different part of Shas in order to take this background that we've gained now and examine other halachos based on what we've already learned. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chav Vav Amud Beis brings a halacha that we are more familiar with. The Gemara talks about in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, in the Beis Hamikdash, the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Shofar on Rosh Hashanah was not blown alone as we do nowadays in our shuls, but rather it was blown accompanied by chatzotzros, special horns that the Beis Hamikdash used on special occasions, namely this occasion of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara asks on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, how is it possible that one is able to be yotze, his mitzvah of listening to the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, if at the same time one hears also the sound of the chatzotros? The Gemara asks, Trei Kolim Mishtamoi. How could it be that you hear two kolos at the same time? And we have a raya, very interesting raya. The Hasanya, Zakar Bishamar Bidibor Echad Nemru. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Aseres HaDibros, when he told us about the mitzvah of Shabbos, he said, Zakar Hashem HaShabbos HaKadosho, Shamar Hashem HaShabbos HaKadosho, Zakar Bishamar at the same time. Masha'in HaPe Yechol Ladaver, Ve'in HaOzen Yechol Lishmoa. It was truly a divine phenomenon, one that could not be recreated by human beings. Something that a human could not accomplish to say two things at one time, nor can one hear two different words being said to him simultaneously. And therefore, we extrapolate that the chatzotzos being blown at the same time as the shofar in the Beis HaMikdash would be invalid for the mitzvah of tekiyas shofar. The pashut shot in this Gemara, when we think about the din of Trei Kolei Lo Mishamoi, probably occurs to you similar to what Rabbi Nachmanel says. Klomar, Eshel Adam L'Shmor Shnei Kolos Bevasachas. If I'm in a room and there's a whole bunch of people talking, I can't focus, I can't listen, there's too much going on. It's a chisaron in the shomea. I can't take in both of those kolos, or as many kolos as may be sounded at the same time. I believe the source, or at least the support, for the opinion of Rabbeinu Chananel can be found in the Yushalmi at the beginning of the fifth parak of Brachos. The nusach over there, an explanation, interpretation of Trei Kolei Lo Mishamoi, is Ein Shnei Kolos Nechnasin Ba'ozen Echad. Alpidin, or maybe physically, two kolos do not enter one's ear at the same time. That seems to be the understanding Rabbeinu Chananel is taking. When you look at Rashi, though, Rashi perhaps flies in the face of Pashut Pshat and really says something surprising, almost startling. The Gemara goes on to compare this situation we find in the Beis HaMikdash, where the shofar is being blown at the same time as the chatzotzros, to a case found in Megillah where there are 10 people trying to learn the Torah at the same time. You can only imagine when you have one Baal Koreh in shul and everyone's jumping on him to correct them. What do you do when there's 10 Baal Kriya? In any event, the Gemara says that that's not a valid Kriya for the same reason Trei Kolei Lo Mishtamoi. Rashi tells us, Yud Kolos Yeshkan, there are 10 Kolos, She'i Efshol Lahem Litzantzim Diburam B'teva Achas. It's impossible for them to coincide their Kolos at the same time to one Dibur. Shelo Yehi Echad Lechor V'Echad Lefnim. That one should not be before, one should not be after. Meaning one will necessarily precede the other. Fascinating when you compare it with the Lashonos of Rashi. In our Sugin, Gidin, Yeshol Litzantzim Shelo Yachdim Ha'acher. Almost entirely parallel, almost verbatim when transposed. It seems Rashi is founding the concept of Trei Kolei Lo Mishtamoi, although the Pashut Pshat may be like Rabbeinu Chananel, it's founded upon the din of Yeshel Etzamsim. So now question number one becomes, we just came to the conclusion in the Gemara in Gittin, as the Baal Tosfos Paskin, as Rashi seems to be consistent with that, that we do hold Eshel Tzamtzim, like Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, Bidei Adam. When 10 people, or any multiple number of individuals, are trying to be meskavin l'davar echad, as Rashi says in Bechoros, to make their actions synchronize, we paskin Eshel Tzamtzim. They are considered doing it at the same time. So why are the people reading the Kriyas HaTorah at the same time, or blowing the shofar at the same time, also not considered a case of Bidei Adam, Eshel Tzamtzim? Moreover, the basic sugi is talking about the shofar and chatzotzos in the Beis HaMikdash. Kohanim Zrizim Hem. If anyone can try to be mitzamtzim the kolos, it's them. Question number one. Question number two, even if you don't assume that that's how Rashi is learning, again, consistent with the Baal Tosfos and Bechoros, Stam, when we examine many dinim throughout Shas, that would seem to be Talion, Machlokas, Rabbi Yossi Aglil, and the Rabbanan, the Gemara always says, oh, this is like Rabbi Yossi Aglil, this is like the Rabbanan, Eshel Tzamtzim, Yeshel Tzamtzim. Heichem Natsinu in all of Shas, or anywhere, to my knowledge, and it's not very vast, but I could not find any place where someone suggests that according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you do say, Trei Kolei Ar Mishtamoi, that the limud from Matan Torah, from Har Sinai, is not valid. Whoever heard of such a thing? Of course we paskin Trei Kolei Lo Mishtamoi. But nevertheless, Rashi is told of the din in Eshel Tzamtzim. And finally, Stam, and this might be the mafteach for understanding the whole sugya, is that bechlau we need to understand what is the machlokas between Yossi Aglila and the Rabbanan. Rashi, Pashut Pshat and Bechoros, seems to tell us that according to the Rabbanan, why is it Eshel Tzamtzim? Why is it Yeshel Tzamtzim? Sheyotzu Shnei Roshem Ke'echad, Ela Echad Yotzei Tchila, Vol Yadin Heinihu. One of them definitely came out first. We just don't know which one it is. As opposed to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Rashi tells us in Daf Tesin Bechoros, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer Shneim Lekoin De Esher Letzamtzim Sheshneim Yotzuke Echler Shneim Bechoros. It is possible that they both came out at the same time. Is this a Machlokes Metzias? We're always taught, based on the Ramban in Chulin in the Yerushalmi, that there cannot be a Machlokes in Chazal of Metzias. Go out and check it out. Chazal, maybe they didn't have freeze frame photography to be able to examine the two animals coming out of the mother at the same time, break it down to the millisecond and see which one had its nose up on the other. But if we do that, Bizman Azef, there's a race, and it seems like two runners cross the finish line at the same time, we'll have to go back to the videotape and see which actually made it past the finish line first. So even if we weren't capable of that, in the time of Chazal, we should at least know that one of them had to come out first. How could Rabbi Yossi Aglili argue with that? The answer is, and this will allow us hopefully to go back and answer the other questions, is something that's discussed by many Achronim. I heard it first from in the name of Aaron Soloveitchik from Rabbi Willig a number of years ago, so I'd like to relate what he told me. He said that Aaron Soloveitchik, it almost became a refrain every day in Shir. It was almost something the guys in the Shir used to joke about. Every day, they would come to a machlokas, it would appear to be a machlokas in Metzias, and Rabbi Aaron would tell them, a machlokas in Metzias? Nein, a machlokas in Shiurim. What does it mean? Don't treat this as a machlokas in Metzias. Treat it as a machlokas in Shiurim. To illustrate, the Gemara in the Darm has a fascinating halacha, on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us if one has a sick person in his house, and the sick person appears to have passed away, and he tears kriya, and in reality, the person wakes up a moment later and then dies again, this time really passes away. So the kriya is still valid, provided that it is in toka de dibra, within, let's say, 2 or 3 seconds of the original point in time in which he tore kriya. In such a scenario, the kriya is valid. The Ran explains because it's as if it took place, that kriya, because it was in toka de dibra, it's as if it occurred after the moment of the actual misa. This is also very hard to understand. Either the events were spread apart, the kriya took place at point one, the misa took place a little bit later, then we understand what's going on in front of us. But to say that they converge, as long as they exist within that window of toka de dibur, how could that be? So the reason is, because when it comes to the halachas of time, and other shiurim in halacha, while our perception may be based on the units of time that we're accustomed to, hours, minutes, seconds, and the smallest unit of time being the smallest unit of time that we can come up with, in halacha it's not necessarily the case. Rather, sometimes in halacha, the Torah is koveya that the units of time we measure with are actually a little bit larger. And here, we find the din of toka de dibur, a larger unit of time where even though in the most literal sense, the events that occurred within that window were separated, halacha tells us that it's considered as if they took place at the same time. There's a tziruf. That's a shir in zman. Likewise, the Gemara tells us that if different edim want to become part of one unit of edus, as long as they speak within toka de dibur, it's considered as if they came together and spoke at the same moment. Tosus in Shavuos, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, even says that when two edim testify toka de dibur, it's ki'ilu they were made bitzimtzum. A lesson very important for our sugya. Be that as it may, what emerges from these examples in Shas is that different units of time are being employed in halacha than the ones that we are accustomed to. And that's what Rabbi Aaron meant when he said it's machlokas in shiurim, not a machlokas in metzias. What Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds when he says that two animals come out of the mother's stomach at the same time, it doesn't necessarily mean that if we examine down to the microsecond, they would really be coming out at the same moment. Rather, his shear for tzimtzum, for simultaneity in halacha, is based on our perception. What does appear to the human being? According to the Rabbanan, no, that's not good enough. It cannot be that we'll treat them both as a bechor, even if it appears to us that they came out at the same time, because we hold that the shear for tzimtzum is not so broad. Now, the truth is we find in other areas of halacha, such as the ribu of tefillin, So one's boxes of tefillin must be absolutely square. So some say that you have to examine it with an electronically calibrated caliper, but Poskim tells us that that's not really necessary. It's a kol fi rosh ein yadayim. Whatever we see, if it appears to be square, straight in both angles, then that's acceptable. Lo nitna Torah l'malachei asharis. So why is it that this case is different? Why do the Rabbanan say that even though it seems that the two animals are coming out at the same time, we do not treat them that way al pi halacha? So the answer is found in Minchas Chinuch. Try to just read you one line. Haklal b'kitzer, this is mitzvah kuftes, kol hechash yesh mitzvah v'azhar b'mido b'mishkol, b'shayet lomar yesh l'tzamtzim. If the Torah tells us in order to be mekayim a certain din, you have to measure with this measurement, so then we do say there's tzimtzum. Torah told us, do the best you can. HaTorah nosna tzimtzum l'fi das b'nei adam. The precision is based upon the ability of human capacity, human faculties to accomplish. However, abul b'mitzvah she'ena mitzvah tzvuyu b'shir, rak ha-mitzvah hi b'fnei atzmo, k'mo b'chor, v'chadome, ach ira she'ela deinan yodim b'vadayim efshal tzantzim, al zeh shayach plug tzasham. The Gemara in Bechoros is talking about a case where there's a din, not tolin shirim. There's a halacha that whichever animal comes out of the mother's stomach first, that's the one that has the status of the Bechor. There's no requirement of shirim over there. Therefore, there's room for machlokas between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Rabbanan, whether eshel etzamtzim or yeshel etzamtzim. We do not revert to the klal of lo nitna Torah l'malachei asharis. Now, I think that this is a yisod that really emerges from the sugya in Bechoros itself. The Rashash asks on Daf Tes right there, what about the klal of Tokadei Dibur? What about the shayla? What about the halacha that we paskin all over Shas? Tokadei Dibur k'dibur dami. So even if the Rabbanan say yeshel etzamtzim, that it can't be that both of the animals came out at exactly the same moment, but Tokadei Dibur puts them together. That's Rosh Hashanah's question. You'll find in Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz's Shiurim and Maseches Gittin, he answers that question in a way that really manifests the yisod that we've already discussed. I'll read you his lashon. Nira Pasha, Dahasam ap inema de chashiv de tarvayo noldo ka'achas. It seems obvious that even if in halachic jurisprudence, both are treated as if they were born at the same time, mikol makom sof sof rak harishon potar esachamor v'lo hasheni. In dinim where we're looking for which animal, mitzias, reality, which one was poter the rechem, which one was the first one to come out of its mother's stomach, ukishenolat hasheni kvar niftar rachma, mitzias zu iyeshel dina. The Tokadei Dibur, Kedibur Dami Lachisha. The halacha that Tokadei Dibur puts that unit of time together cannot govern, cannot be makfish the reality that one animal actually came out first. So in short, what we've said is that it's true. If on a timeline, two actions, two events, halachically, can be considered as if they actually converge, as if they coincided, but when there's a din that requires a metzias, when there's an additional din that tells us we have to be even more than precise in measuring time, but there is a phenomenon that must be accomplished, must be achieved, then the din of Tokadei Dibur, the question of Yeshel Tzamtzim is not Shayach. So therefore, if I have to ask myself, which one was Poter Rechem, there's nothing to talk about in the context of Yeshel Tzamtzim and Tokadei Dibur. Only the one that came out first is the one that is the Bechor. With this understanding of the Machlokas, we can return to the questions we started with. Number one in Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, true, Rashi employs the terminology, Yeshel Tzamtzim Diburam, that all of the Bali Kriya were able to speak as one, might be true. But that Lashon is not the same Lashon of Eshel Etzamtzim when it comes to the Sugya of Bechoros. Rather, what Rashi is telling us, which is already suggested in the Sugya itself, Irbuv Kala, when it comes to Shofar, Irbuv Kala, any type of mixture, any type of adulteration that makes the call of the Shofar not simply the kol, the chetz of kol, the shmiya that's necessary, something else is interrupting, something else is interfering it, then one is not mekayim the mitzvah shofar. One is not mekayim the mitzvah of kriyas haTorah. We need one chetz of kol. So even if in by halachic standards, the kohanim who are blowing the chatzotzos, blowing the shofar, we can consider it as if they are blowing precisely at the same time, as if each one started and finished his kolos at exactly the same moment. Nevertheless, if we need a kol without Irbuv Kola, as the Gemara tells us is possible, so then in Metzias, we must judge this case. We must ask ourselves in Metzias, is there one kol? Is there more than one kol? Were they precisely synchronized or not? Another raya that may suggest that there is such a din of shofar that requires absolute definition in the Shmias Kol Shofar is a Ran Psachim, Dap Dalad Amar Aleph in the Dap Peh Harif, a different context, but he has a line there comparing shofar and Kriyas HaMegillah and Kriyas HaTorah. Shaloga Kol Bilvad Hu Yotze Ela B'Shmias Kriyasa, and he defines that Shmia as Pisuk Osios and Pisuk Kolos. That implies one needs a unified sound, an unadulterated, unmixed kol from beginning to end. Pisuk kolos. If that's the case, once again, it's irrelevant to bring in the machlokas eshel etzamtim, eshel etzamtim from Bechoros to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, because even if you pass an eshel etzamtim, the metzias of the fact that there's more than one kol here that's unsynchronized from one to the next passels the shmir. With that, we understand the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. With that, we understand why the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah doesn't make this halacha of Trekol Lomish Hamay dependent on the machlokas in Bechoros. And finally, we understand why there's no question from our Gemara in Gittin. The Gemara in Gittin, where we end up applying Rabbi Yossi Agli Lishita, is Amar Rav Kahana Hacha Beches Amos Mitzumtzamos Haskinan. Ches Amos Mitzumtzamos is the simple application of Rabbi Yossi Agli in Bechoros, where he tells us that measuring a precise measure can be accomplished when one attempts to do so. Eshel etzamtim bidei adam. There's no additional outside halacha like we find by Petar Chamor, like we find by Shofar, that tells us you have to look at the metzias anyway. No. If hakol lefi ro'os einei adayin, the one who is measuring those eight amos determines that there is eight amos here, and as Rashi says, lo pachos v'lo yoser, then indeed we come to the conclusion that that will be a valid case of migureshes ve'ena migureshes, and we find no steer between Rashi in Gittin and Rashi in Rosh Hashanah, and Baruch Hashem, hopefully we have a better understanding of the sugya in Gittin. Thank you very much.